Well, fantastic. It's so good to have the four of these guys up here with us today. And so this panel, hello, Pastor Mike, you look worried. So your question's an easy one. You're right. You're okay. I'm hopeless at this. I'm sure you'll be okay. This is wonderful. Well, church, we asked for some questions to come in and your church responded and brought some questions in. So we've picked some of the ones that really portray a lot of the questions that came in. And so so I'm going to start off first. Hello, Pastor Lee.
Hi.
I'm going to start off first by asking a question and asking each one of these guys to answer this particular question in regards to their marriage. So both sets of couples here have been married longer than 20 years. And so in 60 seconds, Pastor Mark, let us know how your marriage has changed over those 20 years.
We both got 20 years older.
So you're a lot more...
And God's got to sort it out, though, because as you get older, your looks dissipate somewhat. And
not. And
it's my turn.
Hold your ground, Mark.
Your looks dissipate somewhat, but God's worked it out because so does your eyesight. And
excellent.
And that's good news, because then I'm still looking hot to my wife anyway, so praise God for that. Of course, she can't see as well, and so that's good news.
Wow. I've had lens replacement surgery.
You're not looking good, and you can't see. Excellent, okay.
Over the last 20 years, I've learned lots of things. Firstly, I couldn't dress myself. I've learned how somewhat to dress myself. Right. Black works. But our marriage has changed in the way that we've got to know each other a lot better. And to this day, I've got to say, I still don't know what she's going to do next. I thought I had it worked out 4 years, ten. No, I'm still working it out. Right. And I think that's what keeps it interesting, because I'm not sure what the next stage is going to be. But we certainly it's my turn.
This is going to be a very interesting panel.
It's got better and stronger. We're more in love than we were back then, in the sense we've got to know each other. We've got a great destiny together, a future and a purpose. So we're loving life now.
That's a great 20 years. Thank you, sir. Pastor Lee, now.
Your turn.
My turn. Well, it's pretty cool if I keep changing. It means you don't have to get another woman, so that's good. Anyway.
Okay.
That works,
good
right?
Good point.
Yeah, it's the truth. Everything is different, actually. I went from being, living with Mark, and Mark being, in the eyes of my parents, their son-in-law, to their son-in-law. So that was a good step forward. And the other thing is I'm not 19 and silly and selfish anymore. I'm now 53, fabulous, fit, fun.
Yes.
All of those. Add to that, if you want.
Well,
blind.
53, blind. Fabulous, fun, fit. That's all F words. Well done.
Yeah, fabulous.
Excellent.
To go with 53, no longer 19.
Wow.
No, but seriously, I think, it takes two people to decide that they don't want to just live for themselves. They want to live for somebody else and do that really well. And I think I've done that really well, living for you. Yes. And he has done really well living for me. So together we live for each other, which is fabulous. And but I became that girl that didn't want to be selfish. I wanted to, because I was raised, I could do what I wanted, be what I wanted. The world was my oyster.
Right.
I wanted to make our world our oyster together. And so I, was intentional about all of that kind of stuff. And so in doing that, I guess, together we were really good. But there's that one component that made the difference, and that was the beat of the drum that we danced to. And that's to the heartbeat of God. That really, that was
Excellent.
The center of everything.
Excellent.
That changed everything.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Pastor Nadine, before you go, does anyone notice how Pastor Mark put the mic down and folded his arms? He's very good. Very good. He's like, your turn. That's right. Now it's your turn, Pastor Nadine.
I'll hold mine up.
You're right.
There you go.
I don't have all those F words to describe marriage or anything like that, or myself.
Maybe one.
We could find some together.
Fit and fabulous.
Fit and fabulous. 40.
But I'm like Lee. I was married young. I just turned 21. So, I'm older. I'm hopefully a lot wiser. Together, we've seen a lot of life. We've seen tragedies. We've seen happy times. And I think I just don't tend to view the world anymore so black and white. There's a lot of shades of grey there. And I think I've taken all that into our marriage, and of course that changes it, because I change as a person and Mike has changed as well. But the things that haven't changed is our love. I think that's grown. I think it just started with our wedding, you know, and it's grown because we've created life together. Yep. We've created a family together. Friend, I feel like Mike's doing something. And I like, I want to go like that.
Don't worry, I'm watching him for you.
I like him to stand over here. And our, you know, our commitment to each other hasn't changed. And I think on the wedding day, everyone here who was married would have committed themselves to each other. But we've actually learnt the word commitment over the years. And if I've learned anything else, it's that the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence or anywhere else. It's only green where I water it. So water it I have, and I think we've created a great life together, and some of those things just haven't changed.
Brilliant. Yeah. Excellent statement. Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike.
Well, I'm certainly greener after that. You've watered me well. And but looking back over the last 24 years, I think we have, when we enter into relationships, we come in with such idealist expectations. And you might stand in front of that minister or the celebrant, and they say these words that you're going to be together through better or worse, through richer for poorer, you know, in sickness and health. I think we come into it and thinking, this is just going to be so much better, so much richer, so much healthier. And it's completely wrong. And I think over the time of marriage is that I've got to do the worser, I've got to do the poorer, and I've also got to do the sickier a lot better. The sickier. That's just the rhymes with it. It's like Lee's F words. And so I think marriage is all about that. It's not necessarily about the better, the richer, the healthier. I think to navigate through marriage, you've got to do the worst times together, you've got to do the poor times together really well, and you've also got to do those sick times together. That's why I married a nurse, because I'm not good with those six things. And I think one of the negative side of it, because it's not all rosy, hey, is that I, over my 24 years of marriage, I've become less tolerant with the Dean, is that she should just know things, all right? She should know after 24 years that I drink, Bushel's tea, blue label. I don't drink Billy tea just because it's on special.
And I think that's boring.
Ah, that's brilliant. Billy tea, what is Billy
anything tea? I'm going to brush my teeth with must have Colgate name in it. I don't care the variety. But I will not brush my teeth just because it's on special and it's called White Teeth, spelled T-E-E-F.
I did go through an Aldi stage and I had to decant everything into packages that had like Kellogg's names on it.
I'm losing control of the panel. I'm losing control.
So I have a lot less tolerance for things like that. They're just stupid things that she's doing after 24 years.
You're losing all the points, Mike. What's it?
I don't care. I'm honest.
We will get off this panel later.
This is
we're not
life.
Up here all night.
I'll go back home to my Billy tea and my white teeth.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
This is starting to sound like Jerry Springer.
It is. I felt like you really just wanted to get that out. That was like, whoa.
Put it down.
All right. Let's get to the next question. Pastor Mark, you get a very good question here. How important is a healthy sex life? I know. Great question.
It's really important.
really?
Really important.
Really?
You can that's all I've got to say about that.
That's
it's
all.
Really important.
That's it. Fair enough.
I think that if you want a good marriage, ladies, then sex should be a major component in your thinking.
Where's my wife?
And
she's like, hello, darling.
Yeah.
Just want to say hello.
And it's a very important part of a healthy marriage, and but not the only part that's important, obviously. And there's the romance side of it, there's the adventure side of it, there's the caring for other side, there's the talking side of it, there's the communication side,
excellent.
Which all leads to a healthier sex life in marriage.
Excellent.
So if you understand that, that will help you get there a lot better. Though as you get older, it's not quite as important. As it used to be, and which is good, I think, and still really important, though.
That's good.
Still really important. Don't get me wrong here. Still really important. So certainly fit that into your program, ladies, and It's got to be better than house cleaning, and you do that every day. So come on.
House cleaning. This is. I am learning more than you guys up here. This is fantastic.
Gosh. All right. So yes, well, it's important.
So it's very important. Very important. Would you like any rebuttals, girls? No. No. Excellent. Oh, you agree. Excellent. This is. Wow. Pastor Nadine, next question is for you. So the modern world sort of talks about the equality between the sexes. We'd like to hear what your take is on the roles within the home.
I believe in equality. In the career, you go and everyone should earn $1 million and everyone, you know, should be equal in their pay packets and their job roles, everything. But I do think in the home, there is a role for a woman that is not equal to her husband, and it brings something else to the relationship that not he can bring.
Right.
And I feel the woman is the emotional strength of the house, and the man will bring that physical strength to things and the protective nature, but a woman will bring the emotional strength. And I think she has to be the barometer and the thermometer of the house. Men are not good at those slight pressure changes in the house, feeling them out. Well, I know one that's not. Everyone else might be awesome.
Do we have professional marriage counsellors appointments?
But I've learned to, you know, work with it. And I water him, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
And the temperature of the home, you know, when the things, you know, temperature that's and the great, heat yeah. starts to rise that's and great. Things like that. I think the woman is the one that has to have her finger on that pulse, and she is the one to bring it down and to, you know, do the conflict resolution. And we've just had a daughter go through grade 12. And that created many moments through the year of stress and tears and all that sort of thing. And it's mum that has to bring the hot chocolates and run the bath. And whereas, you know, Mike's like, go to your room at 5 o'clock in the morning Friday and you come out at midnight Sunday and you show me what you've learnt. So he was really hardcore.
Pastor Mike, that's a great tactic. I told my daughter, go in there on Friday, come out in 2017.
Hence the tears and the stress better. In the house. Hence those tears, because she can't do that like he can. So, yeah, so that's it's that emotional strength that we bring.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Very good. Very, very good. I love that barometer, thermometer. Yeah. Girl, that's excellent, because that's really what happens in the home, doesn't it?
It really is.
Very good. Wow. Great picture. Pastor Mark, back to you. Back to you, Pastor Mark. Pick up that mic. So placing boundaries around a guy's life in regards to temptation, right? So how have you done that? In particular, we got someone right in who said that they're uncomfortable with the spouse's friendship that they have with someone of the opposite sex. There isn't anything physical going on, but possibly an unhealthy emotional attachment. How do you create that boundary to make sure that doesn't happen?
Wrap your wife around your head.
It's my turn.
Wrap your wife around your head.
You know, think of her at all times. Keep her before you. You love her.
Or she'll wrap something around your head. Is that right?
That was the answer right there.
Right there.
I think generally, and again, there are intentional emotional relationships, but a lot of guys have no idea that they're even in an emotional relationship with somebody else. We don't know. And it's our wives that are, you know, the reason we have wives is in case the Holy Spirit goes on holidays. And she tells us things like, you know, like she's, you know, she likes you, you're getting too close, there's too much things. And I think it's, most guys really don't pick it up. And yeah. If she, as a matter of fact, if she tells me that, I get really excited that I've still got the stuff. And I said, wow, really? She's interesting. Wow, that's awesome. But in real terms, I think to understand, if you want to stay strong and secure in that area, you've got to realize how weak you are to temptation. And, you know, if David, a man after God's own heart, fell with Bathsheba, then I think our greatest strength is to realize our weaknesses. And what happens is, if you realize you're weak in an area, as a matter of fact, any place in the Bible, everywhere else in the Bible it says pray until, stand, when you've done all else, stand. The only place it talks about running is flee a youthful lust.
Yeah.
So it's a real warning to us to think you're not going to stand strong in that area. If you don't back off, eventually you're going to get caught up in it. So I think it's really important to realize that there is a vulnerability
vulnerability sexually, because God designed us to be attracted to the opposite sex. So to realize we've got that vulnerability, therefore we set boundaries in regards to relationships. Because most of those that go wrong don't start sexually. They end up emotionally to start with. There's friends, and all of a sudden she's more interested about you than your wife is, and she's listening to you and that sort of thing. Oh, you poor thing. And, you know, the whole, oh, yeah. So you go down that track and you end up in a wrong place. So again, I think the strength of staying pure is not just to have a good motive, but to actually set boundaries and understand how vulnerable we are in those areas. If you do that, then you're always in a place of safety. You've got margin between you and that relationship.
Yeah, brilliant. That's excellent, Pastor Mike. Fantastic. Pastor Mike, did you want to add anything to that at all, like in regards to how your boundaries are, or you're looking at me weird? Like, no, you're okay? You agree with all that? Nadine,
good answer,
Mark.
Really
what have
good
you
answer.
Done? Excellent. Nadine. Oh, you've got you're pinching him. Don't say anything. Okay. Well, I really like this question, Pastor Lee. This one's aimed at you. If you could answer this, because we've seen this happen in your world. It says here that we speak a lot about church and the importance of raising children in the house. What if you've done all the things and raised your children in the house, but they walk away from God? How do you prepare yourself as a parent to navigate those decisions that your kids make that are different to your values and your decision-making process? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think the principle holds true whether you're planting a veggie patch or, you know, rebuilding a house or raising a child. You have a blueprint of what you want something to look like,
right.
And
yep.
You prepare for every season, in
yep.
season and out of season, every year of their life, as they, you know, leave school, get married, whatever that looks like. You know, we're all individuals, and I like to think that raising my children, I raised them as individuals,
yep.
not just the Ramsey bunch, though they were that, and very loud at that. But as individuals, and so I think being intentional about what you want their future to look like and the culture that you create in your own home,
yeah.
The choices you make for them until they can make choices for themselves helps lead them and direct them
Great.
In the right
yes.
way.
Yeah.
It was just recently that Mitchell said to me, he said, "Mum, make sure you always tell people to bring their kids to church, whether they think they're listening or not listening."
Wow. Wow.
One of the things that he's been amazed at is that having found Christ for himself, he is amazed at how many scriptures he knows and understands just because he's been sitting in the house
wow.
of God and how they've come alive.
Yeah.
I think the mistake so many of us make is when they start going to high school that we help them have excuses for not coming to church
yeah.
by creating scenarios that are, you know, in place that you actually take them to that takes them
yeah.
away from the house
yeah.
of God. So define the culture that you want for your children until they can and have the right to make those final decisions for themselves so that then when they do go maybe in a different direction to what you think, you know they've got good foundations. One of the things, you know, and again, I use Mitchell as my example because he's the last to have left home, was he actually said to us, he said to me driving into Brisbane one day, he said, "Mum, I'm just letting you know that I believe in God and I know Jesus died for me, but I want to find out for myself. So I'm going to do some things that you may not approve of." And right there in that moment, I had to make some decisions as a mum how I would respond to that. Because I now had a child that I couldn't tell what to do. I had to hear and listen to what he said he wanted to do. And so in that moment, we had a really healthy conversation that left him in a place where he knew he would always be welcome home, no matter what he did, where he went, who he hung out with, and what choices he made. And so I think, you know, that helps make it easy for them to come back, and lots of food. He loves food, so always give lots of food. And also understanding their friends. Once, you know, you have a season where you have power over the friends that they have,
yes.
and because you help them choose, because you take them to someone else's house or you give them the right to invite someone to yours.
So true.
But when they leave home, that all changes. And you just hope that everything that you've invested into them
yes.
kind of, you know, sits here in their head. And helps. And then I think the other thing is, and I can only liken it to this because it reminds me of when this happened to me on many occasions. I used to love riding horses. I understood horses. I knew every part on the horse. I knew what saddles were. I knew what a bridle was. I rode a lot. One of the things I made sure I did learn was if a horse wanted to throw you off, what you did in that moment. And what you do if you ride horses is you sit into the saddle and you don't panic and you hang on with your thighs. So that when that horse decides it wants to buck you off, you're not going anywhere unless you decide to jump off. And that's the same with raising your kids. When all hell breaks loose, just sit into the saddle, into everything that you know, hang on with everything that you've got. But in that moment, when you feel like it's now dangerous for me to stay seated in this saddle, I need to get off and out and give him the freedom to buck and kick and run into a tree and hurt himself. Not going with him, I'm going to stand and wait. Because that's what you do with a horse, right? Horse whisperer. And they come back. And yeah. Wow.
That's fantastic. Wow. Because that's the challenge, isn't it, Pastor Lee, is when your children are that preteen and teenage years, you've got that amount of control or the ability to speak into their life, but it's transitioning from being able to do that and understanding, oh, hang on a minute. How did you make that transition to go, hang on a minute, I need to stop telling them what to do now and just listen?
She never stopped telling them what to do.
I still don't. I don't think you stopped telling them what to do. I just think you use it in a different tone and the discussion is built around the conversation a little differently.
Right.
I still tell Becky what to do all the time.
She still tells me what to do.
What to do all the time.
But there's ways to tell people.
So it's listening a little more and understanding where they go. But I love the fact that you said, let them run off if they need to. They can hurt them. If they hurt themselves, they know to come back rather than you've burnt the bridge with them.
And if you're a teenager in here today, I don't see too many of them. I think they're everywhere else. But, you know, it's not to give them permission to go, okay, because I said they can go. Yeah. You know, when they're entering adult life, they need to think like an adult too. Yeah, I love how Nadine, you know, has navigated with Sophie the seasons where, you know, conversation comes up about what is right or what's wrong or what she thinks she should do and not do. And, you know, Nadine's got a lot of fabulous things to say about all of that as well. Sophie in the room. Beautiful Sophie's just left grade 12.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. So great parents here, Sophie, and great girl, Sophie.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor Lee. Brilliant answer. Very, very good. Pastor Mike, question to you. It says here, my partner is constantly distracted, this is very pertinent, by his phone or computer, and my kids and I feel ignored. Not pertinent to
Did
you.
Did Nadine write this?
I know it says here, these are really good comments here. I know that his job isn't always 9 to 5, but I feel that he is missing out on us and therefore conflict is inherent in part of a marriage. How do you deal with things like this?
I can't wait for this.
Let's all just watch.
This will be interesting.
I'm one of those guys, just absolute buffhead. Get off the phone, get off your computer. No, I think in the whole listing of this, we talk about conflict resolution. The greatest marriage killer, relationship killer, is definitely conflict.
Yeah.
And in listening to that question, there's probably some things that I do when I, you know, listen to couples and that, is listen for the big words and the big descriptive words. I think the word was constantly there. He's constantly.
Yeah.
And my thing is it true? Is he constantly on the phone, or is he constantly, or is she constantly? Is it so often we can use these big words that describe all the time, and it's not necessarily all the time. There are times when it happens, and there's destructive moments in that. We live with conflict all the time, as every relationship does. There's been years where I've called Nadine Ninja Nadine, is because she's come down the hallway kicking with karate chops and leading front kicks and things like that.
In my early years.
That's
now.
What I said.
I can't
in your
live
early
my
years.
Legs to kick anymore.
As ages progress, she is not as flexible as she once was, and there'd be hamstrings being pulled and things like that. And so she has been violent over the years, and as you can see by this battered body. And but then also Nadine's a wordsmith, and so to actually try to beat her in an argument is a really difficult thing. And not only is she a wordsmith, she's got a great memory, a huge memory. A memory remembers that everything. And as guys, we're clueless when it comes to memory and words. And with this, there's a couple of things when it comes to conflict. Yeah. I think conflict can be really good at times. Conflict is inevitable in relationships. And I think the great thing of conflict, it can be a catalyst for change. Is that when issues are raised and there are two hearts that are soft enough to receive this, and conflict can only be resolved when there's two hearts willing to agree.
Yeah.
And that becomes a challenge. If there's only one part of the relationship that's got softness to receive it, if the other heart is hard toward it, it's impossible to get to a resolution type thing. So I would say to everyone here, I think Mark has said this to me so many times over the years in pastoring context, is have tough skin but a soft heart. And no matter what season you may be going through, if you can maintain a soft heart, is that you can get through any challenge and any difficulty that comes your way. And so a couple of things, like in this situation, yeah. when we're looking, you know, at, I think I mentioned it last week, we live in an age of distraction. And there's distractions today, telephones, yeah. computers, all manner of things. And I believe that we, and I said this as well last week, is that we have amnesia of the now, of the present moment.
Yeah, good.
And so dads, when you're with your kids, and I know, you know, work pressures and all the other pressures in that, when you're in the moment with your spouse and your kids, be in the moment, hey? And also mums, be in the moment, is that we can get so busy, and I understand the constraints upon time, but when you're with your wife, be in the moment, yeah. put the phone down, focus attention there. When you're with your kids, give them everything you've got at those times. So a couple of things I do for conflict is number one is to talk to the relationship, is to appeal to the relationship. Honey, if you're on the phone continually in our presence there, appeal it. Hey, it'd be great for you just to put your phone down in those moments and just, hey, love on myself, love on the kids. Is that good advice? That's good, isn't it?
Sounds awesome.
It does. You're going to remember every word I say right now.
I was just going to say
honey,
that.
Put down the phone.
Honey, and I'll put the phone down, love. So appeal to the relationship. Secondly, I think you've got to establish some boundaries when it all comes in. And there's times in our life where we have magic words. If either say one of this word, it is shut down conversation right now because the argument has gone to destructive levels. And so it's like, I'd say like, shut up, Nadine.
Find another word.
And she would stop. No, we'd not. If I say that, it inflames. But that was just an example of one of those words. Is that establish boundaries. Because some conflict's good, some conflict is absolutely destructive. And if you've got destructive conflict, seek help. Go and talk to someone about that.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, conflict like that, guys, get off the phone, eh?
Honestly.
Love your wife, love your kids.
And girls.
And girls as well.
Yeah.
Get off social media, girls. No, some social media is fantastic. I love social media. As we look at even in the past week with Philip Hughes' tragic death, you know, someone in Sydney just puts a hashtag, put out your bat, and 120,000 tweets
on
front of the New York Times. So there's some great power in social media, but I think out of all conflict, be in the moment, hey?
Yeah.
Is because the little foxes spoil the vine.
Yeah,
and it's never really the major things, it's the little things that get blown out of proportion, not dealt with,
excellent.
And then it can become catastrophic at the end.
Brilliant. Thank you, Pastor Mike. That's an excellent answer. Thank you so much for that. Such a very relevant topic to look at. Well, church, I hope those are, not a hope, I know those answers have been fantastic. I hope you gleaned something for yourself from each of those. Let's give our panel a great big hand. Say thank you very much for that. Really appreciate your wisdom. Pastor Mark,
George,
take it away.
Thank you, Mike and Nadine and Lee and
look
at all that, and we're all still married. There's hope for everybody, and hope that was helpful. And it is a journey, and it's a continuing journey. It's not a destination. Enjoy the time, and make it the best you can. And the principles applied here are not just for marriages; it's for relationships, for friendships. You know, for family, how you deal with everybody around you. So if you're not married, you don't have children, don't think, oh, that's irrelevant. No, those principles are applied to all sorts of relationships. And if you build strength into relationships, then all of them work together for good. I mean, at the end of the day, all that really matters in life is three relationships. Your relationship with yourself, who you are, what you believe about yourself, your relationship with others, and your relationship with God. It's not about things. It's always about people. It's always about relationships.
relationships. And if we do that well, if we've got a good relationship with ourselves through Christ, then it's easier to build relationships with friends. And if we get that relationship with God, then it's easier to build relationships here and with yourself. So it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of all of mankind. And he knows us best. He designed us. And if we get to know him, then that flows into us. We become somebody different, more like him. And now we're able to be stronger here with our marriages and our friendships and our children and the whole thing.